The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Is this a good evangelism verse? What kind of salvation is it talking about? Thank you for joining us today on Grace in Focus, a radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We will be talking about Acts 16:31 in just a moment after I tell you about our website, faithalone.org. There you can find out about our free subscription magazine and our online seminary. We also do short videos Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and you can find them on the Grace Evangelical Society's YouTube channel. Once again, our website is faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Philippe Sterling.
We've got a question from one of the apostles. It's from Andrew.
Yes.
And he said, I had someone recently tell me that Acts 16:30 and 31 is not about eternal salvation, but rather temporal salvation. Their argument is that the jailer was fearing for his physical life and wanted to be saved in that sense. They also said that Paul gave the gospel to him after Acts 16:31, since Acts 16:31 isn't a true salvation passage, but is really about being saved from harm. And this person says, Acts 16:31 has long been my favorite verse in the Bible, so I was hoping you could clear up some confusion he caused me. Yeah, great question, Andrew. And I think it's important to think about the context. You were telling me some points that you had about this. What is that for?
Yes, well, the first point is going back just a couple verses to verse 28, when the Philippian jailer comes and supposing that all the prisoners had fled, Paul tells him in verse 28, with a loud voice, so this is
right,
and with emphasis, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. So no prisoner had left. So Paul's loud statement concerning that would have immediately relieved the Philippian jailer from fear of physical death.
Right.
He was no longer subject to death for having allowed prisoners to escape. So that no longer was his concern.
So he wouldn't be asking, what must I do to be saved because the prisoners escaped?
Right. And so what Paul even have been able to do, you know, to prevent...
Well, that's the other
thing.
How's Paul going to save him from Rome?
Right. So the question is, you know, what then might the Philippian jailer be referring to? Well, we also know from the context that Paul and Silas, even though they were there in chains there...
And in stocks.
They had been joyfully singing hymns and, you know, songs about Christ.
And probably the kingdom.
And the kingdom. And so the Philippian jailer had been listening to all of that. So he had heard a good bit, you know, about, I think, Christ and the kingdom. And so his concern, you know, was then, how can I be saved in the sense that you all, you know, had been bearing witness to your songs and more, you know, perhaps in their conversations as
and
well.
I think another indication this isn't physical is because the man had a knife out, well, a small sword, and he's about ready to kill himself. Yeah. That's what the verse before the one you read, verse 27.
Yeah.
And that's when Paul says, do yourself no harm. That would be the physical salvation. Paul's already physically saved him.
Right.
And so
from what he was doing and from what might have been done to him.
Right. So now he's saying, what must they do to be saved? Now, I should mention, I read a statement by Al Mohler, the president, I believe it was Al Mohler, the president of Southern Seminary, and he floated this suggestion that we know that the verb sozo and the noun soteria, they often refer to just deliverance. Right. And so this could refer to physical deliverance. And you know what I'd say? They're right. It could. But the context shows it's not. But I like the fact that Andrew's friend brought this up. We should be asking that question every time, because according to, in my book, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words in the Bible, I have a chapter on save. And I point out there that in the New Testament, only 3 times out of 10 does the verb save refer to being saved from eternal condemnation. 7 times out of 10, it's referring to some other kind of salvation.
Some kind of a temporal deliverance, deliverance from enemies,
right.
From army.
From death.
Death, you know. So we look at the context.
Right.
Again, and it's always context, context.
And sometimes it's physical healing,
right?
Your faith has made you well, but it's sozo there. Or in James 5:15, the prayer of faith will save the sick, will heal the sick. So I like the fact that somebody's thinking outside the box, but here they're thinking too far outside the box because it's real clear they're talking about spiritual salvation. He had heard them singing, and I think what goes on here in the verses that follow is some more additional information. After he says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. By the way, I'm giving a message this Sunday on three essential words in evangelism. And I'm taking it from John 3:16, but also from this passage. And I say the three words are believe, Jesus, life, or believe, Jesus, save. So you could say in three words, Jesus saves believers. Real simple.
You are invited to subscribe to the Grace Evangelical Society's YouTube channel. You will find our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday videos there, enlightening and encouraging, and even probably humorous at times if you like Bob Wilkins' humor. Indeed, you will get biblical truth about free grace themes like faith alone for eternal salvation and why the Grace Evangelical Society is zero-point Calvinistic. We come your way three times a week at the Grace Evangelical YouTube channel. Check it out and tell a friend about the Grace Evangelical Society.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. That's pretty simple. And by the way, I have a book here I just showed Philippe. It's by Moody Adams, and it's called The Titanic's Last Hero. And it's about a guy named John Harper, who is an evangelist from Scotland. And when Sharon and I were over in Scotland a few years ago, we saw some things about him. They have a church over there that is a memorial, still existing, I think, to John Harper. Anyway, Harper was, it's interesting, this guy's first name is Moody, and he was going to Moody Bible Institute and Moody Church in Chicago, and he was going to be preaching a series of evangelistic messages, and he was on the Titanic. Well, when it hit the iceberg and starts going down, since he was one of the men, he didn't get in the life raft, but he was in the first class, so he was given a life jacket. Well, there were people in the lower decks that didn't get life jackets. So he took his life jacket off and gave it to one of the people in the lower decks. He says, you'll need it. I don't. Then when the ship went down, if you've seen the movie Titanic, you know, there were some people floating in the wreckage and some of them got on top of wood and some of them were just in the water. Well, the water was something like 39 or 40 degrees.
Wow, so they only had minutes.
He goes up and he sees some guy that's clinging to some of the wreckage and he says, are you saved? And he says, no, but I'd like to be. And Harper said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Well, the waves parted him for a few seconds, and then the water brought him back together, and he saw this guy again. He said, are you saved yet? And he said, no, but I'd like to be. And he says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Like Paul, he's shouting, right? At that point, Harper goes under and drowns. Well, this guy was rescued by the Carpathia, you know, one of the ships that came in and rescued some of the people. He was an American. The guy, as he was clinging to the wreckage, kept meditating on what does this mean? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Of course, he was from America. He'd heard about Easter and he'd heard about Christmas and he knew Jesus died on the cross and rose again. But he never knew that if you believed in Jesus, you were saved forever. And he got it. He was rescued, and when he went back to America, he preached all over America that he was Harper's last convert.
And here's something to think about Harper is that though he is dead, he still speaks.
He still speaks.
And we are speaking, and this is going to
getting
to
some more eternal rewards for him.
Yes.
And this book, The Titanic, which, by the way, I'd recommend it. It's a good book. It's getting him more rewards. It's kind of like, you know, we republish a lot of Zane Hodges' commentaries and books. I think the same thing there. He's still speaking.
Yes.
He's been dead since November of 2008, but he's still speaking. And if the Lord tarries another 50 or 100 years, I hope you and I are still speaking.
Yes.
In any regard, the idea that Andrew is talking about here, that this isn't dealing with salvation from eternal condemnation, is wrong. Now, it is true in the verses that follow, Paul gives more information.
Then, he speaks the word further, but to him and to others.
Right. It says in verse 32, to him and to all who were in his house, which would include his family and any servants he had or whatever. And then he took them and washed them, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. So they came to faith.
Yes.
Now,
not like how the paragraph ends. He rejoiced having believed in God with all of his household.
And by the way, here's a good statement of where God refers to Jesus.
Yes.
Because nobody's born again by believing in God the Father. Yeah. We're all born again by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right. And that's how it begins. Verse 31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. And then says, having believed in God with all of his household.
Right.
And the focus, again, is believe.
Now, we're not told when the Philippian jailer came to faith. Was it when he heard, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved? Quite possibly. But if it wasn't, he came to faith then when he heard additional speaking from Paul. After all, remember the guy with the Titanic?
First time he hears it, he
didn't believe at that point. He had to hear it again. Or I'll give you my testimony. And Warren Wilkie shared Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 with me. For by grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Obvious, simple, easy, right? Not for me. He must have shared it 10 times the first time we met. We met 5 times. He must have shared it with me 50 times. On about the 50th time, I got it. I finally, because I had so much bad teaching, work salvation teaching. I think it's probable that the Philippian jailer came to faith when he heard, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. And his household came to faith when they heard additional preaching, because they didn't actually hear this, probably. We're not sure where the house quarters, how close they were to the jail, or how loud Paul was talking. You see this in other places in Acts 2, like in Acts 10. Cornelius and his household, they all come to faith when Peter is sent to evangelize them. And you have situations like that. There's no promise that if you believe in Christ, your whole household will. But there are some examples where people believed and their households. And it's all because it says here that they believed, having believed in God with all his household. It's not like the other people didn't believe. They all believed.
Yes.
Well, very good. And thank you, Andrew. Good question. I hope you still feel like you can use this verse, because in my opinion, it is if you're going to go outside the Gospel of John, this is one of the best ones. I'd stick with John mostly, but I use this one.
Yeah, and we know there's 1 Timothy 1:16 as well. There are those few verses that are concise, clear, and with a personal example.
Amen. Well, thanks, and remember, keep grace in focus.
Be sure to check out our daily blogs at faithalone.org. They are short and full of great teaching, just like what you've heard today. Find them at faithalone.org/resources/blog. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or some feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. And when you do, very important, please let us know your radio station call letters and the city of your location. On the next episode, when Old Testament believers lost the Holy Spirit, did they lose eternal salvation? That's next time. Join us. Until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.